Coach me along now.
Oh, that won't be a problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With that, we just.
I better get me a drink of water. I'm getting nervous here.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Don't be nervous. Huh? We're all in the same family here.
There. That better?
Yeah. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. This a test? This a test. This a test? This a test?
Okay, Don.
This a test? 1, 2. This a test?
Okay. Fine. Okay, well, can we begin just by getting your name and where you were born? And we just want to get on tape that it's okay for us to interview you and for us to put this in the archives at LSU, at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, and possibly at Sea Grant also, just so that researchers who want to use this material for research purposes can use it freely.
Okay. My name is Joycelyn Hebert. My maiden name is Keller. I was born in New Orleans. I grew up in a humble camp in Paradis, which is St. Charles Parish. My dad worked for Humble Oil, and I guess there were maybe 40 or 50 houses there. We had our own water tank and recreation hall.
Well, first of all, when did you move to Paradis?
I think I was in second grade.
So that would have been about what year?
I guess I must have been about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we moved to Paradis.
Okay.
Second grade.
So we're talking about the 1930s?
I was born in 38, so I guess that would probably be what, 38.
So you're 7 years old, about 1945?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in second grade when we moved to Paradis.
Okay.
And I went to school in DeZalman's, you know, up until 8th grade, and then after that, Hornville High, which was along the river then. We were 5 children. I have 2 older brothers and 2 younger sisters. And my dad supervised some of these boat trips. Humble would offer these trips for all the first place wildlife winners in the 4-H clubs in St. Charles Parish and surrounding parishes. And also they had a lot of county agents, and everybody loved the trip because we would leave out of the Humble Camp, the boat dock in Paradis, and we would travel through Lake DeZalman's, Lake Salvador, and on to Grand Isle. And at Grand Isle, we stayed at the Humble Camp there. They had like a boarding house and a mess hall, and
can you describe what you remember it looking like?
The campsite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were 2-story houses there. They were, you know, built at the camp. We must have got to the boat dock or whatever, and we stayed in the boarding house. It was like a place, I guess, where the guys offshore stayed or whatever. And they had like a huge kitchen mess hall. And I just remember we got there, and then they fixed all kind of supper and pies and ice cream and all that good stuff. And then the following morning, that we would board the crew boats, which were maybe 4 or 5. And like you said, they were probably Otto Candace's crew boats. And they would pack lunches for us. And we would head on out into the Gulf. I don't know exactly where, but off the Grand Isle coast.
About how long did it take you?
I don't remember, because we were gone practically all day. We would just ride out there and visit different places. I remember we visited a place called Bird Island or something. It was like a bird sanctuary. And when we pulled up, I mean, the sky was just black with birds and things flying. It was just, I'd never seen so many birds. And it was just an island out there. And we also visited a place called, I think it was Captain Viasca was his name. He was an older man, and he lived on some little island. And he must have had some oyster reefs or something, because I remember we got out the boats, and then we would all go try to, I don't know what you call it. Is it tonging for oysters? But we had these big old tongs, and then I remember pulling up some of these oysters were huge. I would say about a foot long. We couldn't even eat them. They were too big. And he was just an older gentleman. We just walked around there, you know, surveyed everything. And then we got in the boat, and then we went to Manila Village. And it was just a huge platform, you know, out on stilts.
Can you estimate? And I realize it's been a while, but about just how big the platform was.
It was pretty big. It was like a village, you know. It was like a, I can't remember. I can't say exactly. Maybe as big as a football field or a block or something like that. I mean, it was big.
Because the platform area, and then there were buildings around it where people were living? Can you describe what you remember?
Well, I remember we got off the boats. We got up on the platform. I remember some of the platforms were wavy looking, you know, like. I just remember they had barrels full of shrimp. We just kind of walked around the platform. I don't remember a whole lot about if they lived there or what. I can't remember. They were like Oriental people. I knew that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I must have went two or three times with my dad, you know.
Now these barrels, were they like a water barrel, or were they, big barrel, little barrel?
Looked like big barrels with dried shrimp. I remember we'd fill our pockets and bags and, you know, and we just kind of walked around the platform. I don't remember going into any part of where they might have had a kitchen or that. We just kind of walked around
Do you remember what the boats looked like? Were they all power boats or were some sailboats?
What boats now?
The boats that the people on Manila Village lived on.
I don't remember seeing any boats.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I don't recall. I just remember we would get up to the platform and then all get out, you know. I don't remember, you know. I know there were probably boats. We probably saw boats out on the water, but, you know, I don't remember seeing any boats next to the platform.
Were they the equivalent distance from the water to the top of your house here, or were they smaller? You know, you say a platform. Did you have to go up lots of stairs to get up there?
I think we had to go up to get to it.
Okay.
From the boats,
Right, and we realized you were 7 years old at the time, so everything looked bigger than that.
Well, I think I might have been about 10 or 12 then when I went, because I was in the 4-H club and all, I remember too, and I think I was, I must have been about 10 or 12. I probably went when I was 10, 11, 12, maybe 13 years old every year.
But do you remember when you sit up in the boat, was it higher than your head?
Yeah.
The platform?
Okay. Yeah, it was higher. Yeah. I don't exactly remember if we climbed steps or how we got up on top of the platform. Mm-hmm. But it was way up above, you know. It was high up, from what I can remember.
So they were drying shrimp when you were there?
Yeah. They had them just, you know, spread out, you know, like, and, you know, that's all you could see was just shrimp, you know. They were just like, it looked like waves, you know. They would just, I don't know if they just would spread them out and, you know.
Well,
I wish I knew more about what they did, you know, exactly. I mean, about the housing or whatever they did, if they lived there or what. I don't remember too much about that.
Well, that's what we're trying to do now.
I figure they must have, well, it was kind of way out on the water.
Oh, yes.
So,
do you remember if the term Bassa Bassa was ever used by anybody that you talked to? But you do remember Manila Village?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember we always called it Manila Village. Okay. It was always part of the...
But the shrimp out there on the platform drying, did they have people out there to keep the birds off? Or was there anything done to try to protect the shrimp at all while they...
I don't remember seeing any birds or anything around there, you know.
Well, that's interesting. You would expect the gulls to flock to
I don't remember, you know, seeing any birds.
But at Bird Island, you saw lots of birds.
Oh, yeah. It was an island completely with nothing but birds, you know.
Any particular type of birds stand out in your memory?
I guess there were, like, pelicans and just all kind of birds, you know. I just remember they just would just, when we got close to the island, they would just start flying all over, you know, and it was just amazing to see all these birds on this island. And I mean, that's practically all we did. We just ride around in the Gulf and see different things, wildlife type things. And then go back to, you know, Grand Isle to the campsite.
Well, I have a question for you, because I was in 4-H as a child, and I don't remember any kind of wildlife program or competition. What exactly was the wildlife?
It was those that were in wildlife, I think, like leaf collections, bird houses, insect collections, stuff like that. If you won first place or if you placed or something within the parish, and they also had surrounding parishes. I remember Mr. Malonso was our county agent back then. He's probably way deceased now because he was probably about my dad's age. He had children, Sterling Malonso, I remember Sterling. They had other county agents that would be invited to, you know. Everybody liked the trip because Humboldt provided everything. You know, it was a three-day trip. And
so it was basically a day down there, a day touring, and a day back.
And just, you know, seeing a lot of stuff out in the Gulf, yeah. Pulling up to shrimp boats and stuff like that, you know, or, you know, different aspects like that. But
now, the oil field activity that your dad was involved in, while you were living in Paradis, was it mostly on land in that area? Were they beginning to move down toward Lake Barataria Bay and the wetlands area?
The camp?
Well, the oil field, when they were, the oil field activity that they were involved
My dad didn't work offshore. Mm-hmm. My dad worked at the Humboldt camp in Paradis. He was a mechanical supervisor. He maintained a lot of the big engines, and he did a lot of land stuff, you know. And then down this canal where I lived, there were like tank batteries and all that kind of stuff.
Do you remember the name of the canal that you lived on?
It was a Humboldt Canal.
It was called Humboldt
Canal. Right. Evidently, they must have dug the canal going to Lake Des Almonds.
Do you remember the name of the oil field? Was it, you know, if you had a camp, there was an oil field. Generally, they all have names. Do you remember the name of the oil field your dad worked in? Was it just called Humboldt?
It was just called the Humboldt campsite, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they had probably people working offshore, but they didn't live at the Humboldt campsite. They had an office there at the camp, and they had, you know, people working in the office, I guess, accounting and all that sort of stuff.
If Carl and I wanted to find that site, we would drive LA-1 to Hanville.
Well, the campsite's no longer there because we've often went back to see if we could find it. You would have to go through, like, Des Almonds. That's old Highway 90, I guess?
Yes, ma'am, I know.
Okay. You would go, and it was off what they call the old road. There was an old road.
Yep,
and
I
then
know that.
There was a Texaco campsite, which just had like three or four houses on the right side. We were across the railroad track to get to the Humboldt campsite. There was a big Indian mound to the left. There was like a pond in the front, and then you went into the camp. And immediately to the left was a huge office, and then there were like maybe 30 or 40 houses. There was a boathouse in the back that housed some crew boats, and there were also a lot of electric pirogues, because all the guys would go fishing late in the afternoon. There might have been 20 electric pirogues plugged into a battery or something, and the guys would go fly fishing in the afternoon down the canal. And we grew up on the canal, you know. I had two older brothers. We had trout lines. We played in the electric pirogues.
How far were you from Des Almonds?
In the boat, I guess it probably might have been about maybe 2 miles. I know we would go down the canal. We never went all the way. I mean, when we played, we never went all the way till we got to the Des Almonds, right, hooked up to the Lake Des Almonds. But along there were like little outlets, and I guess they had like tanks and batteries and stuff like that.
I think
I think Humble must have dug the canal from the campsite to DeZalman's, I think.
Was there a company store at the camp? A company store, or where did the family shop and get their groceries?
Oh, well, you know, there were a parody. I mean, we went to New Orleans a lot. I mean, you know, back then, there weren't too many doctors. I guess it was one doctor in Louis, yeah. But back then, you know, it was just one dentist.
I'm trying to visualize. You could get to the camp by car.
Right. Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. We could, in other words, if you were coming from DeZalman's, there would be a little road that you could turn to the left, and then... you would hit the old road, what they call the old road. It was parallel to Highway 90. There was an old road, they call it the old.
Was it between 90 and the railroad, or on, this is 90 going from New Orleans to Raceland.
Okay.
And then there's the railroad.
Right.
Now, were you between 90 and the railroad, or on the opposite side of the railroad?
We were on the other side of the railroad. We'd have to cross the tracks to get to the campsite, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, a little further down on the old road was a Texas company. They had three or four houses there, and they had like a little campsite.
Okay.
And that was the old road. We called it the old road. Mm-hmm. Okay. And most people travel the old road to get to Parody, the little city of Parody, or to
Rowan. Now, when you drove, could you drive to Hanville, or you had to drive to DeZalman's, get on 90, and then go?
No. We could go to what they call Booty.
All right, you could drive to
Booty. And then you would take a left and hit the River Road, about 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And then you would go take another left and hit Hornville. And at that time, the school was on the river.
Yeah. Do you ever remember the name Cousins or Cousins Canal in that part of the world?
Cousins, no.
Cousins, okay.
No.
That helps us narrow down
where
you lived.
Could you describe the houses there?
The company houses, they were all alike. They were,
one bedroom, two bedrooms?
No, let's see. I think we had a porch. We had a kitchen.
Were they screened, the porches?
Ours was enclosed. Yeah, the porch was kind of like a little sunroom. Hmm. I remember my brothers had bunk beds back there. And then they were, two bedrooms. Because my brothers had their, on the porch, like, I guess, and that, we called it the porch. There was a couch, and then they had their bunk beds.
So there was glass in?
They had a lot of glass, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was a kitchen and a pretty nice large dining living room. And two bedrooms and one bath, yeah. They were basically all alike.
But no school, no store. So when you went to school, you had to leave the camp, go by probably school bus.
Yeah, the school bus would come to the campsite, pick us up.
And there were 40 families?
I'll say between 30 and 40 houses then. Mm. I think I was 15 or 16 when they did away with the campsite. And all the people took, they actually, Humble gave them the houses. They rolled the houses from Parody to Mimosa Park in Luling on the highway.
They rolled them?
They rolled them. Moved them, you know. And everybody went and bought lots on Mimosa Park. We still all lived together.
So that would have been in the early 1950s.
Yeah, let's see, I must have been like 15 or 16, so I graduated in 56, so I must have been like 54.
All right, if Carl and I were looking for Mimosa Park, mm-hmm. how would we find it?
Well, if
coming
you...
Coming on Highway 90, okay. Going towards New Orleans.
Okay, you would go through a little town called Booty. I think there's a light.
Mm-hmm. I know
you go a little further down, and there's another light. That would be Mimosa Park. Across the highway used to be Monsanto. I don't know if it's still called Monsanto
now. It is.
Okay. Well, Mimosa Park is right Off the highway.
Off Highway 90.
Highway 90, yeah.
Are the company houses still there?
Well, we moved the houses. Everybody, some like my dad bricked ours, added on to it. Everybody did something to their house. Hummel just gave them to you. You had to move them. And then everybody just did their own thing, moved the houses and bought lots, you know.
But Carl and I found one or two of these remaining homes that were home. Mobile in Morgan City.
Uh-huh.
And it would be important if we could find one to photograph. We know where to look, and we will. Yeah. But that's
well, my little sister lives in the old home. When my dad was real sick, she moved in with him, and then she never left. She lives
in Mimosa Park.
Mimosa Park. Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, when you say rolled, they brought in a
they moved them with
moving
trucks.
Company.
Yeah, right. That
sure.
Kind of, yeah, that stuff, yeah.
That was a long one.
They moved them all and
now, can,
ripped them. And,
can you describe the houses at Granda, just like you did two-bedroom? Were they? Do you know if they were one-bedroom, two-bedroom?
Jay, I don't remember. I just know they were two-story. You know, I guess they had the carport underneath, and then I guess it must have been similar on top. I never went into any mm-hmm. of the homes.
But you did go into the bunkhouse.
Oh, yeah, the bunkhouse, yeah, with the beds and, you know, just
was it? Was it a two-story building?
No, I don't remember it being
one,
two.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, at that time.
Big?
Yeah, big.
Okay, mm-hmm. Real big?
Well, it had a lot of, you know, rooms and beds and, you know.
So could it also serve as a recreation center for the city?
No, I think the recreation center probably would have been closer to the campsite, you know.
Okay. All right.
They so this was essentially like a dorm? Or
yeah,
or,
I guess it was places where the guys stayed when they came in and out offshore, you know, because Hummel did a lot of stuff offshore. Now, my dad, you know, we lived in a campsite that my dad didn't go offshore. He worked, you know, basically all the big, the land stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But since you were so close to Disalmans,
mm-hmm.
do you ever remember any of the local fishermen? Because Disalmans is known.
Yeah, there was some Matherns we used to get stuffed crabs from and catfish and stuff.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
How did that work? I mean, did they bring them to you? Did you have to go
no,
get them?
No, we'd go pick them up along this bayou road, whatever.
They sell them out of their houses? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They used to, in fact, they would, I think they called them busters when they would try to do the soft shell,
mm-hmm.
put them in the traps or whatever. We'd go down there to get soft shell crabs and stuffed crabs and catfish.
Okay. Can you describe where they kept the busters?
I just remember they had some traps.
Was it a trap or?
Like a cage. Like a cage.
Right. Right.
I don't know if they were watching them or what. I don't know how they did it.
Okay.
But they would do, they would, I guess, watch them till they got real soft.
Was it about the size of this table?
No, the traps no were little.
Okay. All right.
And they would just pull them up along. I just remember seeing that. But.
And you bought stuffed crab from somebody's home?
Yeah.
Now, and you spent time in New Orleans? And New Orleans likes to take great pride in their stuffed crab. Which was better, New Orleans or what you bought at somebody's house in Disalmans?
Yeah, Disalmans, yeah.
No
it was,
question.
It was all meat, Joe. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
they, yeah.
The catfish, were they all filleted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see how they caught them?
Mm.
Okay. Because they use nets sometimes, there's other ways, and we're still trying to sort some of that out.
How they caught them, yeah.
Yes. It sounds simple, but it's not always written.
Yeah. Now, I remember, you know, as we grew up in the camp, I had two older brothers. We lived in the boathouse, crabbing and fishing, and we would catch these little shiners and then sell them to the filling station, huh? From guys going fishing, you know. I don't know if they gave us a penny a piece or something like that for them. And we had a trout line. And Humble always had a prize every year. If you catch, They wanted to get rid of the garfish because the guys like to go fishing, you know. So the one that caught the biggest garfish and the most, well, they had prizes. So my brothers and I, we always caught the most and the biggest. I remember one time we had one on a trout line that was over 6 feet, so Dad had to come in a boat with a gun and shoot him in the head, bang, you know. But our trout line, we used to catch all kind of stuff, a lot of garfish, catfish, you know.
And did your mama cook it?
Yeah. We went frogging in the camp in the pond in the front of the... you know, the camp. We used to go at night with my brother would put one of those things on, you know,
bull eye,
and he had this big gig, you know, and I would kind of paddle the boat, and you could just see their eyes, you know, and we'd bring them home, we'd put them in a pillowcase on the front porch, and I know one time they got out, Mom just had a fit, they were jumping around, but yeah, I can remember watching my brothers, we'd hit them in the head, you know, and then he'd skin them, and Mama wouldn't cook them unless we pulled those tendons out, you know, because mm-hmm. they weren't going to jump in the frying pan, you know. But we had a lot of fun. I guess back then, I don't remember, we didn't get TV till I guess I was about, 10, 11, I don't remember. We used to listen to the radio, you know, Boston Blackie and Inner Sanctum and The Squeaking Door, you know.
That's good
stories. Yeah, I know. And one picture show, you know, every Friday they had Gene Autry or Roy Rogers in a serial, you know.
Now, this was in parody? Where you go for the movies?
Yeah, yeah. Every Friday night it was a cowboy, yeah, movie, you know.
Now, you mentioned electric pirogues?
Mm-hmm.
And you said fly fishing or just...
Yeah, they would fly fish for bass. In other words... They were plugged in. My dad rigged up all these things. They were plugged in. And then the guys in the afternoon would unplug them, and they had like a little...
So they were battery-powered then?
Yeah. They had like, you put your arm in, you could go forward and backwards, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they didn't go real fast, but, you know, they would fly fish up and down the canal, you know, and then come back in and charge them up again. Yeah.
And that had to be in the late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
Now, did your brother serve in World War II?
No.
So, yeah, because...
Both of my brothers... let's see, one brother is 3 years older and the other one's 4 years older than me.
So they'd have been too young.
Yeah, they both graduated from LSU. My brother Don... they both graduated petroleum engineering. My brother Don went on... he was president of Quintana and he lives in Houston. He has his own energy company now. And my other brother went into... he's a stockbroker, and he lives in River Ridge in New Orleans, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He never pursued his degree, yeah.
Now, besides the camp that you remember Humble having at Paradis, mm-hmm. and the one at Grand Isle, and the Texaco camp,
mm-hmm.
even though there was only three?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember any others? You mentioned Bayou Sally.
Yeah, I was about... I think we left there, I was in second grade, the beginning of second grade. I remember there was a nice camp there. There was a bridge to get down to this camp. I remember that because a lot of times a bridge would be out or stuff like that. I remember there were two big ponds in the front on each side. I think they had ducks in there, deer. And it was a campsite there. I remember they had a recreation hall, and I remember, you know, because a lot of times they had parties and Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff for the, you know. They always had, you know, all sorts of things for the families, you know, to do, barbecues.
But it sounds like the camp, the Paradis camp, is basically a world unto itself.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, everybody knew everybody, and everybody was real close. I mean, we had a recreation hall. We had, they'd have all kind of barbecues, cookouts, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, there were people that did our yards. I mean, you know, you screw up a real close knit. Yeah.
Now, yeah. You said your father's name was Kelly?
Keller.
K-E-L-L-E-R. From where?
Well, my dad was originally from along the river around Norco. Well, I think it was Muntz. It's okay. Along the river. Because, mm-hmm. My grandparents moved because I think some power company or something came and bought his property. And later on, he had to move to Norco, which is right, it's right next to Norco. But Muntz is like along the river.
Okay. All right.
Because I remember as a kid, we'd get cardboard and we'd just... slide down the levee, you know, we thought we were doing something great, you know, but and I think that's German Keller. Sorry.
Yeah.
They said the St. John, St. James, St. Charles, they call that the little German coast. Yeah.
So your dad went to work for Humble Oil, let's say, before you were born?
Probably, I'm trying to think, maybe before, yeah.
So let's put that in the middle 1930s.
I was born in 38, so...
1935?
Yeah, probably so.
And how long did he work for Humble?
Well, he retired from Humble. You know.
1975? Earlier?
When did Dad retire?
Just close.
Trying to think when he retired. I got married, and I forget.
No, my guess is he...
I would imagine he retired when, 65? I'm not sure.
Right. That could easily put it in the early 1970s.
Yeah, yeah.
So for discussion, he worked for Humble Oil for 40 years.
Probably so, yeah.
So when always he came out of... And we're going to guess here. Yeah. When he came out of high school, yeah, or when he got his job... Probably worked for Humble all his life.
Well, I think he first, I don't remember this because I don't think I was born, but I think he owned a filling station in Parody.
Okay.
And I don't remember if it was, when did the war end, 45?
45,
right.
Yeah. I remember hearing him talk about, you know, during the war he'd have to, that they had blackouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. He would mention stuff like that, and then he would have to go on the highway and make people turn their lights off and stuff like that. So I would imagine it must have been around then that he went to work for Humble.
Okay.
He was offered a position, and that's when they moved to Bay Sally. Mm-hmm. And
now, would you have any of your family photography from that period? I mean, you know, the Humble camp or Parody camp at Grand Isle. The Humble camp at Grand Isle, at Parody, any sort of photography from that time period that you or your sister
My sister probably has some older pictures with us with fish and all that kind of stuff, you know. Hmm. I don't have anything that I know of except just, you know, pictures of the family. You know, their 50th wedding anniversary and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the reason we ask is Hurricanes Katrina, Rita, Gustav, and Ike have shown us how precious those kinds of images are.
Yeah, so few of them are left after those four storms.
Yeah, well, Cheryl probably has a lot of pictures, my little sister. We just need to...
Well, it would be really nice to see what the camp life looked like. I mean, what the camp looked like and life in the camp during this time period, because there are virtually no pictures at all.
No.
I know, and Cheryl must have some. I know there's boxes of old pictures at home.
Well,
you know?
the reason we ask is we would take them, we would bring the appropriate equipment, put them in a digital format, and then they would be stored under your family name.
Yeah.
Because sometime a researcher that we don't know yet is going to get interested. You may have the only photographs of those buildings that we have access to.
Or they may still be around.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't mind, and you would chat with your sister. Again, we're not trying to infringe upon anybody's personal collection, but
we're just trying to preserve it.
But that's all.
Except like most of my pictures I have now is when I started raising my children, all my kids, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know.
We understand.
Yeah. I do have a picture of my high school, huh?
Well,
you know, but I was, you know, because I went to one of my class reunions and they have a picture of my high school and stuff, you know, but.
That's when Hanville High was in Hanville.
Yeah.
Not in Parody.
Right.
Which along has always intrigued me.
Yeah. I don't know why they moved it. Yeah.
You said in your letter that you remember people walking on the shrimp. Did you actually see them dancing the shrimp?
I think they said they walked on them. I don't think I saw them dancing.
Well, they call it dancing. They're like shuffling their feet on the.
I think they were drying them there, you know.
Yeah,
right. But you didn't actually see them walk.
All I remember is that they were like this, and I don't know if they did that because maybe, I guess when it rained, I'm just thinking they might have gotten all wet.
Yes.
I wonder what they did.
Well, sometimes we found that there's this little A-frame, right at the tip of the wave up here.
Yeah.
And they would lay a tarp down.
See, they would rake them all to the top.
And then the rain would hit the tarp and run off. Because they could dry in about a day and a half. That's what we've been able to discover. Right.
See, if it were flat, then the moisture would stay
in
the shrimp.
Yeah, I remember
it
wasn't flat. I do remember that. Okay. You know. I wish I'd have been more
inquisitive
about everything.
Believe me, you're giving us
some
wonderful.
It was just so much fun riding into boats, you know.
Well, Don,
this has been good.
Yeah.
Well, we can't thank you enough for your time and for sharing this with us.
I enjoyed it, We earned some money. Mm-hmm.
Do I have this? I need this.
Plug that in and make sure that it's working. And let me turn this one on.
Yeah,
this is a good story. Which one? Line in.
You can tell we didn't have too much to do, huh?
No. I think I know what you were doing, but it's important.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Testing. One, two, three. Mm-hmm. Testing. One, two, three.
You got to pick up the signal? Yeah.
Not very well. I didn't do anything. Hello, 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 hello. That looks like it's okay.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a geologist, Mr. Brasher. I don't exactly know what his title was, but he would have these sacks of mud, I guess, sample mud, and he would give us a job, and we'd make a little bit of money. He would, we would get this one sack, and then it might have to go maybe six or seven different places, and we'd have to write on the little paper bag, the footage or whatever that was on the original bag of mud, and then roll them up. And we did this a lot of times for him, and we'd work maybe all day long, and he might give us $25, and we'd split it three ways. But
well, that was a good bit of money.
Right. It was down by where my daddy's, where the big garage type thing was, where all the my dad's big engines and stuff were. Well, there was like a little building that we would go in that little building, and he would bring the mud samples for us, and we would evidently just bag all these things in little tiny bags for him. I don't exactly know what he did with them or what.
Well, those are called mud logs.
But he paid us to do all this. And it was just tedious work, you know. It was just tedious. And I can remember my brothers would tell me what to do, and you'd write numbers on the bag and then roll them up.
So there was a lab, some sort of laboratory?
It was like just a little old room that we worked in, just like a little old shed.
Did it have scales in it? You know, standard?
No, I think it was just a place where...
Just
a little place where he brought the samples to us in there, and we would just work there, you know, and do that. Maybe sometimes all day long. And we just thought we were rich, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this.
That's a good story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had, you know, I guess back then, you know, kids did a whole lot of things, you know. I mean, the big fish we caught on the trout line, and we'd sell it, you know. We'd go to DeSalmon's and sell the big catfish.
Well, where would you sell it? Their market?
Oh, just, yeah, there was a place where they cleaned fish and, you know, gutted them and stuff like that. We'd just bring it over there and sell it. And then, we also had a paper route. And we had a motor scooter. Well, what do you call it, with the little sidecar?
It'd be a motorcycle, a motor scooter.
With the scooter, with the sidecar, okay. Well, we'd have to go to Parity to get the papers, you know. And so my brother would drive, and I'd be in the sidecar, you know, we'd roll the papers up and we'd deliver them.
Was this the local paper or the Picayune?
It was probably the local, I guess it must have been the Picayune. Must have been. We'd have to go to Parity to get them. So it was probably out of New Orleans, I would imagine. I remember we did a paper route, too, to make money.
Well, sure.
We were studious. Yeah, we did all kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we really...